has called me from the sheep that went astray through his love.
Send us greetings over, and I've given your phone number, Brother Mark. Hope that's all right. Praise God. God's good, isn't it? Frank was telling me he's been invited over to England for Brother Charlie's 80 years. Charlie's coming up for 80. And I tell you, the time's going, isn't it? And thank the Lord for Charlie. He's still a fit man for 80. Pray the Lord really bless him. Let's close our eyes this morning, praise God. Let's just bow before the Lord. If you have a need this morning, I want you just to lift your hand up before the Lord this morning, praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning in the name that you've set far above every name. The name of Jesus Christ, and Lord, we pray that you will wash us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, that you will purge us and sanctify us, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Lord, sanctify this room, this building. May every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm asking you for the hands that's raised, you'll meet every single need. Lord, we pray for all our family this morning, those that's here and not here. We claim every one of them under that token. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for their salvation, for household salvation. For every single person in this room, we claim household salvation. Lord, that you'll begin to move. Lord, that we'll hear that going in the top of the mulberry trees. Lord, that the Spirit of God will begin to move. Lord, as it's been said, when we say hallelujah, that you go through the heavens, showing yourself mighty on the behalf of them that love you and are called according to your promise. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. I pray you bless this meeting. Give us an expectation. Lift the spirit of drowsiness and heaviness and weariness. Put upon us the spirit of praise and worship that will magnify your name, Lord Jesus, and give you all the praise, Lord, that we will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. Praise God. Father, bless your people, I pray. Bless Brother Frank. Lord, you know everything that's happening in his home and his family and his fellowship. I pray you'll take control of it all and that you'll have your way, that you'll bless Frank and move in his children, oh God, and come against devils and demons this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke devil powers Jesus Christ, and I command them to be bound in Jesus Christ's name. And I pray the Holy Ghost to the pre-course. Moving Frank's children, I pray, Lord Jesus, I come against land, divination, spirits of witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I bind it in Jesus' name. I come across against every demon round the Brooklyn this morning, every devil, the spirit of warlock I come against. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind that demon power in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, I say, let there be liberty in this house this morning. Touch your children, move on your children. As we come round this communion table to remember you, Lord, you've gotten us a victory. You conquered death, hell, the grave. Lord, in your rich triumph and o'er the foe, bless and strengthen your people, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Is it very quiet this morning? I tell you, God is good. Every time God is good, praise God. God is real. The devil's a liar. You know, I was thinking this morning, me and the wife was coming along and the gate blocked here again. And I'm not going to talk about it because that's what the devil wants. He wants you to get occupied with everything around you but the thing you should be occupied with. And I tell you, but I know one thing, we need to get out of here. Yeah. I'm telling you, is that right now? And I'm telling you as a pastor, we need to get out of this place. And if you're comfortable here, I'm going to pray God makes you uncomfortable. We need the nester. I'm going to pray there's some sticks come up and the fur comes out. We need to get out of this place. We have sat here long enough. Even a tent will be better than this. And I'm telling you that's the truth. And I know a brother with a tent. And he's doing well with a tent. And if we could get a tent like he's got somewhere for it. But we need to pray. God will have somewhere, praise God. Let's turn to the Word of God this morning, and I'm not preaching in anything what I'd planned on to preach. That's all changed. You know, the wife doesn't know this, but I'm going to tell her now. We went out yesterday, and William went with us. We went for a big breakfast. It wasn't here, John. It was somewhere else. But we went out anyway for a breakfast. It was a big breakfast. The plan was to get a big breakfast and that would do us for the day. And that was what happened. But anyhow, you know, we went out and got the breakfast. But you see, when I was sitting eating the breakfast, I wanted to come home. Something was pulling me the whole morning. Boy, I wanted to get home in the office. And then I went into a shop. And I didn't want to go in the shop. There's a bit of twisting went on. Isn't that right? Because I wanted to come home. I wanted to be alone with the Lord. God's moving. And I'm telling you, God's moving. You better know it. There's a move on. I went to preach last night, and some of the brethren came, and there was modern songs been sung. But then the man on the organ hit a different note. The power of God came down. And I tell you, we had a service last night. And there's an awful lot of people come out and got prayed for and got deliverance. A lot of people. God's moving. God is moving. And I tell you, God can move here. But I'm telling you now, and I'm going to tell you as I've told you before. See the problem of this hall? There's too much in this hall going on apart from us. Too much rubbish and nonsense. And a place where you come to have church needs to be sanctified. You don't need line dancing in it and all the other stuff that goes on in it. And see all these symbols around these walls. Most of them need burned. You say that wrong? They need burned. Most of them. Paganism. The Orange Order, in my opinion, is not much better than the Church of Rome. They claim they're Christians, but they're not born again. They're not born again. Some of them might be, but most of them not born again. And I tell you, it's next to the Masonic. and it has Masonic symbols. And Masonic symbols is occultism, yes. Satanicism. And you know, when it's like in Africa, when the Holy Spirit moves in Africa and tells people to go home to their house and take things out of their house because it's witchcraft. Well, you see some of the Masonic symbols they need took down because they're the exact same as them witchcraft symbols. They're false. But God is real. We need to pray for somewhere. Amen. Amen. We need to be about praying. Get somewhere, even a site somewhere, and throw a tent on it. Get out of here. Amen. How many believes that? Amen. I'm not telling us this morning that we'll turn out the door here and run. But we'll definitely need to look and go about it. Let's read these scriptures this morning. In Ephesians 6, verse 12. Praise God. We'll read this then. I'm going to let you proceed it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then I want to turn to Luke 5 and verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee, are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch and walk, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took whereon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. And they all were amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We never saw it. In this way, just maybe see that, praise God. I'm on this morning and I preached about it last night, and it's not because I preached about it last night, but I could not preach what I wanted to preach this morning, what I prepared. I come back to this. The paralysis of faith. So many of God's people are paralyzed. They're spiritually paralyzed. And either you will paralyze the devil or the devil will paralyze you. And I want you to know this morning that you've been given the right and you've been given the ability and you've been given the power through the name of Jesus Christ, that you don't have to be paralyzed, but that you can paralyze the devil on every account. The Bible says in John, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But the enemy wants to paralyze you. He wants to paralyze you that you'll not testify to nobody. He wants to paralyze you so that you'll not pray in the prayer meeting. He wants to paralyze you with being involved in things. It keeps you away from church. That's how he wants to paralyze you. But Jesus wants you to be loosed. He wants you to be free. I was reading again this morning and I found a little booklet that I got 30-something years ago, and I was reading it again this morning, and it starts off speaking about a storm. And it talks about this storm, and in America it's told us about the storm and the wind coming up and the lightning coming up. And I remember in Grass Valley in America in 91, when I was out there and the lightning striking down on the ground. I never ever saw anything like it here. What I seen it out in America, how the lightning would strike. And it was fearful, yet it was beautiful, and the lightning striking. And he goes on to tell that there was a barnyard down beneath. And in that barnyard was the chickens. And when the lightning struck, the chickens ran for cover. But he said the farmer had stole an eagle's egg. And the eagle was down in that barnyard. And the eagle was up on a bit of stick perched. But when the lightning came, the eagle never ran for cover. The eagle loved the lightning, the eagle loved the wind, and the eagle loved the breeze. And that farmer goes on to tell how that eagle was never a chicken. Though he was put in a chicken coop, he was never a chicken. He was born an eagle, and he was always going to be an eagle. You could never make him a chicken, even though he was in a chicken coop and in a chicken pen, he was never a chicken. And when the chicken hopped about for grubs and worms, the eagle didn't know Brother Laurie what he was doing, because he didn't live on grubs and worms. He was born to eat meat from the day he was born till the day he would die. And that old farmer, you know, he clipped that eagle's wings. And he clipped that eagle's wings so that that eagle couldn't fly. And he clipped his wings, but one day he had forgot for a while to clip that eagle's wings. And a storm came, and that young eagle heard a screech of another eagle. And a gust of wind got a hold of him, and he put his wings out, and he began to go up into the heavenlies. Hallelujah! And the old farmer had forgot that he clipped that eagle's wings, and that eagle flew away in the wind because he was an eagle. And I want you to know this morning that the devil wants to clip your wings, and he doesn't want you to fly. He doesn't want you to testify. He doesn't want you to open your mouth and preach. He doesn't want you to open your mouth and sing and praise the Lord. He wants to keep you quiet like a stuffed shirt. Yes, and he wants you to be real quiet in church, and even quieter when you're out of church. But God wants you to be loosed. God doesn't want you to be paralyzed. Brother Branham said, he said the serpent, Eve, you know, she listened to the serpent and she became paralyzed. And not only did she become paralyzed, she paralyzed the whole human race in sin. She disobeyed God. And he says, you know, he says, I'm told the only way to break that stir when a snake looks at a little bird and that little bird is enchanted by the stir of that snake, the only way for that little bird to break out of that paralysis is to look up and to look away from that snake. And if he'll ever look up and look away from that snake, that paralysis that the snake is on him, the hypnotizes him, will break. And I tell you here, this man here was paralyzed. Palsy means paralyzed. This man was paralyzed. They let him down through the roof in a basket. Now, just take this for a moment. People think of 12 baskets from the 7 loaves and 5 baskets from the 5 loaves. You know the story. We took up 12 baskets in one place, 7 in another place. One place was the Gentiles, 7. One place was the Jews, 12. How do you know, Brother Tom, 2 different accounts? Because one said they sat in the ground, and another one says they sat on grass. And I know it's different. And I want you to know that them baskets were big enough, like this basket, that this man come down through the roof on. Now when you look at that and you see what was left, what remained, what if it could hold a man in a basket? How big and over above God was able to do it. And here this man was paralyzed, but the power of the Lord was present to heal. What we need this morning, we need the power of God that's present. And I want you to know the power of God is present. For where there's faith in God, anything can happen. The Bible says it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, this paralyzation, there's 3 things about it. Three things I want to share with you this morning. Now, I might not stay with these notes, and I'm not worried either. The first thing is, see the enemy, what he wants you to do? He wants you to doubt who you are. Now, I want you to hold that thought for a moment. You can write it down, who you are. You say, Brother Tom, who you are? My Bible says, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. If you're saved this morning and you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you are the redeemed of the Lord. The psalmist even said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You need to say so. You need to tell people you're redeemed. You need to do what Revelation says. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. You should take every chance you get and share your testimony. William Branham said, God might not have called you to be a preacher or a minister, but he says, if your fire ever got lit, surely you can tell how it got lit. And you get every chance you get, tell how your fire got lit. And I want our fires to be lit. If they're not lit, let's get them lit. Hallelujah. You say, where's it talk about it? Tongues of fire come on them in Pentecost. On every shoulder, tongues of fire come down. I'll tell you, God wants you to doubt who you are. You're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ challenged death, he challenged hell, and he challenged the grave, and he took your place, he took my place, he stood in your room in your stead, and he took our place, and he took the curse and the wrath of Almighty God, what was due you and due me. He took it upon his own self, and he bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and died alone. And he's superior this morning to Buddha. He's superior this morning to Muhammad, because he's not in a tomb anywhere, in a grave anywhere. But he rose on the third day triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave, and he's living this morning. And we are not re-offering him here this morning when we take this bread and wine. We're remembering him. We can never re-offer him, for we was offered up once and for all. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Do you know who you are this morning? I want to tell you, you're the redeemed of the Lord. Jesus Christ paid for you. There's a wee verse and it says, with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot, you're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, it says, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The precious blood has redeemed you this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed you. God has paid for you. You're not paid for in part, brother or sister. You were paid for in full. In full by the blood of Jesus on the cross. You are paid for body, soul, and spirit, and food. And you belong to the Lord. And the devil's no right to paralyze you anymore. You're the child of the King. Jesus' blood. We need a veil in this blood. We need a veil on it. We need to operate with the blood like Revelation says, the overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. I want to tell you that the blood of the lambs that overcame in Egypt. They put the blood on the doorpost. They put the blood on the lintel. And the death angel couldn't even touch them when they're under that blood. That's where Brother Branham got the message from, called the token. Because it was a token before God for them. And it is a memorial this morning, brothers and sisters. And the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us on the cross. And the life of that blood come back in the church, the Holy Ghost. And it's promised in every true believer that life of the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. It'll quicken your mortal body. I want you to make you doubt who you are. You say, brother, I'd never do that. I want to tell you, so many people come and they say, brother, the enemy's been getting me to doubt my salvation and getting me to doubt. I tell you, you're saved. If you have called upon the name of the Lord, you're saved. I want you to know this morning, there is no new method.
There is no new doctrine to be saved. I want you to know that you're only saved one way and only one, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no other way to be saved.
Don't you ever think you'll get into heaven and say, I belong to the Baptist or the Methodist or the Message either. None of them things will appease God.
You will have to have called on the name of His provided way that the prophet preached. God is only one provided way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. One way and only one, in which the sides are two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you? Isn't that the song? One door into the tabernacle. One door into the ark. Jesus says, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. By me, ye may enter in.
Don't doubt who you are. You're the redeemed of the Lord. Here's another thing. He wants you to make you doubt who God is. God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability and supernatural authority. I want to tell you, I've heard men recently stand in pulpits in different parts of the world claiming they are God. One of them, they now call him Elohim. I want to tell you, it's anti-Christ and it's anti-word. And I want you to tell you that they're not God. They don't look like God. They don't even act like God. Let me tell you it straight. God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural power. God spoke this world into being. Spoken word is the original seed. That's what the prophet said, and it's absolutely the truth. Spoken word is the original seed. God said it and it came forth. A lot of these men speak, but there's nothing behind it. The Bible says, if what they say doesn't come to pass, don't hear them. It doesn't say go back next week and hear them again. Come out from amongst them. Touch not and handle not the unclean thing. I thank God we can say we're sons and daughters of God. We have a big brother called Jesus. We're sons and daughters of God. But the enemy makes you want you to doubt who God is. God is the one that formed it all with the word of his mouth. Before he was even known as God, he was a self-existing one who dwelt alone. Then he became God when he made the angels to worship him. And those attributes in God, there was in him to be a father. There was in him that he would have a son, that he would have a family. There's attributes in him of healing and gifts. And every single thing was always in him. And not only was that in him, but you were in him. You were in him before the foundation of the world. He knew you and he predestinated you to become sons and daughters of God. God knows every single one that's going to come. We don't know who we are, who they are, but God knows. He knows then from the beginning, but he wants to get you to doubt who God is. You know, I went to work for a man one day, and the wee man I was working with, as soon as we got out of his Jeep, pulled in and was flagging the back of a house. The first thing he said to the fellow who owns the house here, this boy does a bit of preaching. And the boy says, well, I'm an atheist. And I says, no harm to you, it's nothing to boast about. Boy, he started. And he got started and I let him talk away, because you see, when I was a wee lad, I kept goats. And I know, if you see, if you give a goat enough rope, it'll always hang itself. You never ever give a goat too much rope. And off he went. Why did God do this? Why did God do that? Why did God do that, Brother Laurie? You have no idea the many things he blamed God on, and I let him at it. And then everybody's away, and they're just me and him, and I stopped him, and I says, here, boy. I didn't realize how much you really believed in God. Oh, no, don't, he says. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I said, well, here, that's the strangest atheist I've ever heard, because you've been blaming God for half an hour and all these things, and then you're saying you don't believe in him, but yet you're blaming him. And off he went into the house. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When there was just me and him in that job, he would come and talk to me. And his attitude changed. And I want to tell you this morning, the reason why things are happening in this world, dreadful and terrible, is because of the Garden of Eden. Man left his first estate. He disobeyed God. Sin came into the world through Adam. That's what your Bible says. By one man, sin entered into this world. That's the scripture. And death then passed upon all men. But as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. For there is another that came from heaven. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ left the glory and splendor of heaven above. And he came down to this sin-cursed earth to redeem us. And to buy us back. God is real this morning. Never doubt God. Here's a third thing. He wants you to doubt the word of God. He wants you to doubt that if you lay hands on the sick, according to Mark 16, they'll recover. He wants you to doubt James, if you call the elders of the church the night with oil, the prayer of faith will save them and the Lord will raise them up. He wants you to doubt it. He wants you to doubt Romans 10 and 9, that the word is now even in that mouth, the verse before it, that if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He wants you to doubt it. Wants you to doubt God's word. Wants you to doubt God's word. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper. Wants you to doubt it. Wants you to doubt it. Doubt 1 Peter 2:24. He his own self bare our sins in his own body, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose wounds and stripes we were healed. Jesus has paid the full price. But the enemy wants you to doubt it. Wants you to doubt it. He wants to paralyze you. Samson and Delilah to cut his hair paralyzed him. Do you know that? Now I don't care if you agree with it or not. That's a Bible fact. He was out of commission. Yes, he gave away the secret. He was anointed. He was God's servant. But he allowed a woman to paralyze him. And I want to tell you, there's a spiritual woman in the world today that she's paralyzing men as a Christian, and she's known as Rome. And her doctrines has infiltrated so many denominational systems. That's why God had to send an eagle at the end time to give a scream, to bring us out, and to call us up hither. Come out of her, my people. She's a cup full of the wine of fornication this morning. The kings of the earth are drinking out of it. But God's given us a pure, unadulterated word. I tell you, loosen. Lose his Nazarite vow. You become paralyzed. Jonah running from the presence of the Lord. Both these mighty men paralyzed. Thank God it was for a season. Just for a time. I'm not going to take the time to read it all this morning. But Samson's hair grew back. The enemies of Samson stopped looking at him. Stopped believing in his God. Stopped believing in everything. The enemy had walked over him so long. With his eyes blinded, they put his eyes out. They cut his hair off. His eyes was gone. His strength was gone. His power was gone. But they never read away scripture that says, I will restore, says the Lord. I will restore the ears the locust has eaten and the cankerworm. I will restore. Restore means to bring back to its original condition, prime condition, with a glow on it and the shine on it again. Back to perfection, what it first was. And are we not living in the last church age? And has God not said that he restore? Behold, I send you the spirit of Elijah before the great and coming of the Lord. Luke 17:30, Matthew 17:11, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. But he promised us he would restore. Samson was paralyzed. But you know, I believe Samson must have got his hand up. You just think of it this morning. I know it's funny, but you look at my bald head here this morning. You're catching me. You're smiling, but praise God. We haven't lost one brother. But you just imagine, you sisters, if I got out of bed this morning and done that and went, whew, boy. I look at my William and his great hair. Our William's some hair. There's a curl in it. The curl is all down the back and his powerful hair. And he watched it all the night and he came in and he went, like that. And he says, Dad, wouldn't you love her like mine? And I says, I would. I would, William. And he's flicking his hair, wouldn't you love her like mine, Dad? And I said, sure I would, son. But you imagine I got out of bed this morning, boys, and I put my hand up and had her like our William, I'd be shocked, wouldn't I? But I'll tell you what, Samson put his hand up and there was locks again. And he remembered God couldn't go back on his promise. Even though regardless what he had done, even though regardless what had happened, God could not break his promise. And Samson prayed unto the Lord once more, Lord. And a little boy shall lead them. And he took Samson. Samson said, lead me up to the pillars. And he took him up to the pillars. And they're mocking God and mocking Samson, the God of Israel. And I saw that Samson bowed with all his might. And that place came down. And they were all killed. All done away with because of the power of the God of Samson. I tell you, the enemy might have stopped them for a season, but God restored them. Jonah was thought everything was all right. He had the beat up. He was fast asleep in the boat. But God had plans for him. And a storm came and a ruckus came and he said to the mariners, it's my fault to disobey God. Sent to Nineveh, but I'm going to Tarshish and going the wrong road. There's a lot of people this morning going the wrong road, and they know they're going the wrong road. That's the thing about it. It's not that they don't know, they do know. And this prophet knew he was going the wrong road the whole time. But God had plans. I'll tell you what, some people say, oh, you better watch, you'll never see this and you'll never see that. I want to tell you, if God's predestinated something, it'll happen. It'll happen for your life. God will restore you to it. And I tell you, them mariners, Jonah said, you must throw me over. And they threw him over and he ended up in the belly of the whale. I remember years ago, working for a brethren man, and he said the Bible doesn't say a whale. It says a great fish. I says, I know it says a great fish. But there's four gospels. And I read them all, not one of them. And one of them says a great fish, but another one says a whale. So I says a great fish anyhow is a whale. Because a whale is a great fish. But it wasn't important. But I'm going to tell you what William Branham said. William Branham came in a man one time and he was scientifically showing a school how that not even a wee ball could fit in the wheel's mouth down through inside there. And he was telling them all how it couldn't be done. And William Branham stepped up and he said, oh, you believe the old fable? And he says, absolutely, I believe it. And all the students was there and he says to the teacher, the lecturer, he says, it's one thing you forgot. The Bible says it was a specially prepared fish. Amen? That means that God in heaven made a special prepared whale with a special inlet that no other whale had and a special outlet that no other whale had just to swallow up old Jonah. And I tell you, Jonah went down with one gulp. Down into the fish's belly. And then you know Jesus himself says, there'll be no sign given this generation, but save the sign of Jonah, as it's 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. Isn't that right?
But do you know that wheel through Jonah's heart? And William Branham said they worshiped the wheel in Nineveh. No wonder they repented. But he threw them out and he preached to them. He done the thing he didn't want to do. But God's plan came to pass. And the devil was paralyzed. And Jonah was free from being paralyzed. He was well paralyzed in there, wasn't he? But he was freed. And I tell you, maybe you're sitting this morning in this service. Maybe you think there's something in your life and you're bound and nothing you can do about it. And you're worrying yourself to death. But I want to tell you this morning, you need to stop that. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of truth and of a sound mind. God does not want you to worry. You're not to worry about one thing. You're to rely upon the Lord, because He is the restorer. And God can unparalyze it. Psalms 50 verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. They were no more paralyzed, but through them God's power came and the enemy was paralyzed. The enemy was paralyzed, not God's servants. Who they were. Look what they realized. They realized who they were, prophets sent from God. You say it's not important to believe in a prophet or prophets or messengers of God. Well, my Bible differs from that. My Bible says, believe my prophets, and so shall you prosper. I believe that God, if He sends a genuine prophet, we're to believe it. We don't worship them, but we're to believe it and thank the Lord for it. God will prosper us. They realized who God was. Don't doubt who God is. They realized what God's original word told them. Don't doubt the word of God. What was God's original word? God will do it. Let me read you this as I come in a moment to close. This is from a message called The Fundamental Foundation for Faith. But we're too slow. Our minds are sluggish. The valves have been stopped up. They've been paralyzed beyond belief and fear and doubt. It can't flow free like it should do unless we let the Holy Spirit so dominate our lives till it pushes those valves till life begins to start operating, see. Then we can see then, sure, it's the Father. Now, Samuel's here this morning and he came down to a job I was on and they had an old roller down there. Cat roller. And she was cat. Right name was on her, she was cat. But somebody never covered the exhaust pipe. And they tried to start her, and there's a fellow on the job that knows about machines, and he says there's water in her. But there's other fellows there, they thought they knew more than him. But she wouldn't start. She was jammed up with the water. But Samuel came and took injectors out of her, and different bits out of her, and swung her over and everything. But why, she was hard to start, wasn't she, Sam? But with a last resort, he gave her the 24-volt boost. I know you're not, Matt. I sure you're not. You fellas at mechanic know more about it than me. Oh, you're not Matt Samuel, are you? But she got the big touch. She got the 24, the 12. It wouldn't work her. Wasn't powerful enough to swing her. But Laurie, see, when she got this, she got hit with a 24, she lit up. She lit up. And she cleared her throat. And the black smoke come out of her. It was great. You want to hear the roar of her. And I tell you what we need. Jump, leave maybe a bit. We need let up. Some of the valves are maybe choked up a bit. But a good dose of the Holy Ghost of freedom. Good dose of oil and lubricate us. Hallelujah. So we'll not sink like we mice. But we'll be fit to praise the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, I love you. Yes. Magnify the name of the Lord. I'm not going to preach no more. I'm going to read for our communion this morning. Praise God. Communion service, you come round this table. I'm not telling you to pray. I want you to be yourself. Be yourself. Be real. You can't make the Holy Spirit come or anything like that, but if you worship Him. Now, there's one man differs from that. I'll tell you that right now.
Wigglesworth.
Wigglesworth said, if the Holy Ghost doesn't move, I will move the Holy Ghost.
I never heard nobody else talk like that, but he could do it. He had the faith to do it. Then William Branham said, I can do nothing till he comes. Says, I'm helpless. I'm absolutely helpless. But he said, when he comes, and when he said that, and he came in the room, then the faith just lifted. And he said, I take every spirit under my control right now for the glory of God. And he said, there's not one thing you can hide now from God. The secrets of your very hearts can be known right now. That's what he said. That's what God can do. That's what our God's able to do. I want to encourage you this morning as you come round this bread and wine. You're the Lord's. The devil doesn't own you. The devil has absolutely no right to you. He's a squatter. You're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are bought by the blood of Jesus. You're the Lord's. Sister, you're the Lord's. Brother, you're the Lord's. Young person, you're the Lord's. You take this bread and wine this morning. You remember the Lord. But he shed his blood for you. He loves you so much. His love, you know, there's days you can feel in love, and there's days you don't just feel as much in love. Now, I know some of you are looking at me. Maybe you're in love 100% all the time. But you know the one thing I love about God, his love for me, doesn't go up and down like this, remains steadfast and unmovable. But the voice said, I love you and give myself for you. I was paralyzed. Oh, I was paralyzed. I know what I'm preaching about. I was bound. Things I couldn't stop doing. Company I thought I'd never get away from. But when that voice spoke, the chains broke. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 11, 23-24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After this manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together to condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. As we come this morning, I'm going to ask in a moment the deacons to come. And also, I want to tell you, if we had our own hall, our own place, we could have feet washing service. There's so many things we could do. Youth meetings, you could pick a night and have it. So many things. We need to enlarge our vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. Don't worry about if it's here. In the Bible, if there's 10 people, that's enough to start an assembly. There's more than 10 of us. Let's believe God. Let's bow our heads this morning and we can pray for the ambulance this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that you've done for us, for all that you mean to us. Lord, we wouldn't be here if it hadn't have been for you. Many of us, Lord, we were paralyzed badly. But you loosed us and you set us free. Lord, you said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Lord, I think of the backsliders this morning. Many that's been paralyzed, not in this service. Lord, I'm asking you that the Holy Ghost will go to them and loose them. In the name of Jesus Christ, moving George and Winifred and Edris. Others that's not here, moving them, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring them into the house of the Lord. Father, bless this bread and the wine as we partake of it. And we remember you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Maybe your sister would come and just bless on them softly.